Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text Number 3. So nupravishto Bhagavans. Chesta rupena tanganam. Vinam sadyopayam asha. Suptam karma prabodayan. Sa that anupravishta, thus entering later on. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Cheshta rupena, by his representation of attempt. Kali. I don't know what that means, but it means something. Tam, them. Ganam, all the living entities, including the demigods. Binam, separately. Samyojayam, asa, engaged to work. Suptam, sleeping. Karma, work. Prabodayan, enlightening. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus, when the personality of Godhead entered into the elements by His energy, all the living entities were enlivened into different activities. Just as one is engaged in his work after awakening from sleep. Please repeat. Thus, when the personality of Godhead entered into the elements by his energy, all the living entities were enlivened into different activities. Just as one is engaged in his work after awakening from sleep. Purport. Every individual soul remains unconscious after the dissolution of the creation, and thus enters into the Lord with his material energy. These individual living entities are conditioned souls everlastingly. But in each and every material creation, they are given a chance to liberate themselves and become free souls. They're all given a chance to take advantage of the Vedic wisdom and find out what is their relationship with the Supreme Lord, how they can be liberated, and what the ultimate profit is in such liberation. By properly studying the Vedas, one becomes conscious of his position and thus takes to the transcendental devotional service to the Lord, and is gradually promoted to the spiritual sky. The individual souls in the material world engage in different activities according to their past unfinished desires. After the dissolution of a particular body, the individual soul forgets everything, but the all-merciful Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart as a witness, the super soul, awakens him and reminds him of his past desires, and thus begins to act accordingly in his next life. This unseen guidance is described as fate, and a sensible man could understand that this continues his material bondage in the three modes of nature. The unconscious sleeping stage of the living entity, just after the partial or total dissolution of the creation, is wrongly accepted as the final stage of life by some less intelligent philosophers. After the dissolution of the partial material body, a living entity remains unconscious for only a few months, and after the total dissolution of the material creation, remains unconscious for many millions of years. When the creation is again revived, he is awakened to his work by the Lord. The living entity is eternal, And the wakeful state of his consciousness, manifested by activities, is his natural condition of life. He cannot stop acting while awake, and thus he acts accordingly according to his diverse desires. When his desires are trained in the transcendental service to the Lord, his life becomes perfect, and he is promoted to the spiritual sky to enjoy eternal awakened life. So the text again, thus when the personality of Godhead entered into the elements by his energy, all the living entities were enlivened into different activities, just as one is engaged in his work after awaking from sleep. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vrsharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Satarne. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha Sarabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisho Pashitom Mune. So, Yanisha Sarabhutanam. So, what is night for all sentient beings is a time of awakening for the self-control. Yanisha Sarabhutanam Yasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasya Jagrati Bhutani. And what is time of awakening for all living entities is the night for the introspective sage. So, in other words, the dreaming state everyone agrees upon when we go to sleep at night. If we can remember our dreams, then we don't take them as real because we understand that they're just a dream. But when we wake up, we actually take our present circumstances as more real than the dream. Of course, the dream is also real in the sense that we're experiencing something and the play of Krishna's energies are going on, otherwise we couldn't experience the dream. Dreams are not non-existent, they're just the interaction of the subtle material energy. When we wake up, what we see is the interaction of the gross material energy as well as the interaction of the subtle material energy. But the gross material energy is also founded upon the subtle material energy. From the Mahatattva, this produced all the gross and subtle material energies. And before the gross energies are manifested, the subtle energies are first manifested. And from the subtle energies, the gross ones come. Therefore, although we take it as more seriously our awakened state, but actually it's just another temporary existence, like a dream for the soul, and soon we'll go to sleep again, perhaps in the womb of some mother, and then have to wake up again to a whole different material existence. In any of the 8,400,000 species of life, or perhaps any place in this universe, or in the future, perhaps even other universes. So the question is whether we're actually thinking that it is actually very important that I somehow or another first create a very good material circumstance, and then after that I'll worry about my spiritual life. Unfortunately, there is no good material circumstance that will lead us to understanding our spiritual life. All the endeavor we're going to have to put into creating a better material circumstance is not going to lead us into a better spiritual existence. In other words, as Krishna said, as it says in the Bhagavatam, when Pariksha Maharaj, he first of all asked, he didn't ask for, when he was about to die, he heard that a snake bird was going to bite him. He didn't go to an Ayurvedic doctor and ask, my dear sir, what should I do before I die? So I can die in a healthy state of life. Do you have an Ayurvedic medicine for snake bite? Or at least to take away the pain? No, he asked Shukadeva Goswami, as he was asking the other sages, now that I'm about to die, what should I do? Now we think, oh, poor Pariksha Maharaj, he had to die. Of course, that was 5,000 years ago. I'm sure he would have been dead by now anyhow. Even if the snake bird didn't bite him, he wasn't destined to live in the same body forever. And what to speak of ourselves? Pariksha Maharaj was a born Mahabhagavat. He had seen Krishna in the womb of his mother. And so what could actually be inauspicious for him? On the other hand, what is our position? What's going to happen to us at the time of death? Therefore, varyan esha te prashna kritan loki taripaha atmavan samatat pum sam shrotivyadishu yakparha. That this question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? This is actually a glorious question. Everything else is more or less useless right now for ourselves. We may debate where the soul came from, where the jiva came from. Because I know one devotee, his name was Jiva, he came from Brooklyn. So, I'm sure at least one jiva came from Brooklyn. But to debate endlessly where the jiva, what is the value of debating such a question that's never resolved? So at the time of death, when the Yamadutas come to take us away, we have one thing before you take me away. I just have one question. Where did the jiva come from? Would you know? Come with us. Maybe you can ask Yamaraj. No, actually, what is our duty before we leave this present body? What are we supposed to be doing? Shodavyadini Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashitam Atmatadvam Griheshu Grihamedina. Generally, people have hundreds and thousands of questions. Now, we may think people don't seem very inquisitive. But how many people are watching the reading the newspaper every day? They're inquiring, what's happening? What's going on in the world? What's the reality of the situation? They'll read hundreds of opinions on the same subject matter. All of them are all speculations. How did this plane wind up in the bottom of some ocean? You know, did they find the black box? As if it's going to do anyone any good. As if, even after they hear the black box, they take in all the wreckage, they put it together, and still there's hundreds of people with a different opinion. How it all happened. And at the end of the day, what do we develop? Just more speculation. We've developed the enthusiasm to speculate our own. Well, this 100 people said this, but I believe this. And let me tell all my friends so they can go on speculating along with us. There's hundreds and thousands of questions, but what are the questions all about, ultimately? Where is there something to eat? The birds are asking the same thing. Beep, 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 where's the worm? And the other one answers, beep, 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 I think one is over there. Beep, 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 where is there material for nests? Beep, 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 it's cheap over there. There's a sale on wood. Beep, 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 does she love me? Beep, 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 no chance. But we have 3 eggs together. That's life. Beep, 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 here comes the dog. Beep, beep, thank you very much. So that's their inquiring. Every living entity is inquiring basically about the same things in 8,400,000 species of life. Nidraya rite naktam avavayena chavavayam divya charte arajan katumba varanina va At night, nidriya ritenata, people are sleeping. At least some people sleep. Well, that's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita, it is night for all sentient beings, is the time of awakening for the self-control. I'm sure many people on the weekend, when we're waking up from Mangalarti, they're going to sleep. That's if they go to sleep early. And nidra-riyate-naktam vavavayena. And what is the whole idea? Get energy for sex life. That's the whole thing. Romeo, Juliet, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Tarzan and Jane. The whole material world is just a big drama between romance, so-called romance. And in order to support the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending the whole scenario, then one has to work hard. And with all the money, go out and buy the paraphernalia. Get the wood for the nest. Get insurance for the eggs. The whole drama goes on in the material world. And every life we think, this time it's going to be more glorious than it was before. This time the poets will sing about my eggs and the nest forever. But it never works out like that. Because it's punak punas charvata charvanana. And what does it all get down to? What does all this loving relationship get down to? What is it really all about when you take off the cover, the veneer of love and society and friendship? Sukadeva Goswami doesn't say, oh, Pariksha Maharaj, let me tell you this in private because otherwise I'll write it in the Bhagavatam and people will be disappointed. No, he tells it like it is. Deha, patya, kalatradishu, atma, sanyeshva, satsupi, tesham, pramato, nidanam, pashanapi, napashiti. What is this body? What are we working so hard to maintain for this body? Apatya, for the children, and kalatra, the wife, and adishu, all the other paraphernalia that goes along. What is all the drama about? Ultimately, there may be different sub-motifs in the drama, but what is the main drama about? Atma sanyesh, that these things are my protections. Everyone's anxious about surviving, living, and survival in the material energy. So therefore we get so many soldiers, so many support to protect us. Atma sanyeshva satsupi. But asatsupi, they themselves can't protect themselves. They're coming to us for shelter and we're going to them for shelter. Everyone's looking for shelter, but there is no shelter because pashanapi napashati. Everyone is dying. There is no permanency in the material world. No one can protect anyone else here. Kala is always supreme. Time is always supreme. So what does Sukadeva Goswami say? Oh, let's go and cry together. That way we can feel bad together. Or at least we'll have some good company. No, what does he say? Tasma bharata sarvatma bhagavanishvara hari Shotavyas cha, smartavyas cha, kirtavyas cha, smartavyas cha, tatavayam. Therefore, if one really wants to act for his self-interest, tasmat bharata sarvatma, bhagavan ishvaro hari, shotavyas cha, kirtavyas cha, smartavyas cha, tatavayam. One should hear about, one should chant about, and eventually come to the stage of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can actually wake us up from this dreamlike existence. The more we become conscious of Krishna, then the more we wake up. And there's no other means of waking up. So how to become conscious of Krishna? One thing we have to understand is that we should become conscious of Krishna. And that right now we're not conscious of Krishna, And because we're not conscious of Krishna, we're asleep. I may advertise however powerful I am, however learned I am. I can quote so many slokas. I can roll so many chapatis. I can distribute so many books. But I'm actually doing it partly in my sleep. We'd do a lot better job if we were awake. Therefore, we should recognize the fact that we're asleep, and we should pray to Krishna, Hare Krishna, please wake me up to my real life again, to my actual existence, and not get so much caught up in this temporary drama where everyone is lamenting and hankering for a better future. There is no better future in the material world. We have the best situation possible. Even when we go to the heavenly planets, what are we going to do there? How many demigods are chanting 16 rounds a day? I don't even think they follow the four regular principles. Maybe on Brahmaloka. But then if even when we become Krishna conscious in Brahmaloka, then we may have to wait 150 trillion years before we go back to Godhead. And we're so impatient, what are we going to do? So we already have the best situation, but we're asleep. That's the only problem. And we're asleep because we actually are dreaming that I'm going to be able to somehow or another today or tomorrow or in 10 years follow my plans and actually get a perfect material situation, or at least a better material situation, where I'm going to become more powerful, more happy, more prominent in some way, and then somehow or another, in that materialistic situation, I'm actually going to find peace and happiness. So all we do is have to look at the people in the best material circumstances and see whether they're actually peaceful and happy. Even according to Krishna, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvarta Nojana Mamupetya Tukonteya Punarjanma Nividite. From the highest planet, Lord Brahma, he's old now. He's middle-aged. He just turned 50. It's around 12 o'clock in Brahmaloka, in case you want to know. So maybe they're celebrating his 50th birthday. But he's worried. I only have 150 trillion years left. I'm getting old. Maybe I should take Krishna consciousness more seriously. Maybe I should chant my rounds every day with some more concentration. So even Lord Brahma is in anxiety, he's going to die. So what to speak of ourselves? Our problem, as Prabhupada said, we don't take Maya very seriously, and we don't take Krishna seriously. Therefore, we shouldn't take our materialistic consciousness that perhaps in the future everything is going to be better. Oh, according to what we understand, between now and the end of Kali Yuga, except for the brief period of time, which is known as the Golden Age, things are not going to improve. But we have an opportunity to actually take shelter of Krishna, to wake up, but we have to understand what kind of precarious situation the modern society is in, and how we're also partly asleep like the rest of the people in this world. But we, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, by the mercy of Krishna, so we've woken up a little bit, but not sufficiently to say we're actually awake. All we can say is that at least I have a better dream than most people have. But if we actually want to wake up, then we have to take the iti kuya ya yomam evam samuda janati purushottama sarvavit bhajante mam sarvabhavena bharata. That whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore engages in my devotional service, full devotional service. In other words, we've heard Krishna is God, so now we have to engage everything in his service. And then Krishna revealed to us himself. But if we really don't have faith so much that Krishna is God, or as much as we have faith, to that degree we'll engage all our energies in Krishna's service. And if we're not fully conscious of Krishna, it's because we're not fully engaging all our energies. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gachatnya putamudha avritim, jnana nidhuta kalmashaha. Owens tad buddhyas, one's intelligence, tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, one's self, tad atmanas, tad nishta, one's faith, parayanaha, tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, kachyatna puna avritim, jnana nirduta kamasha. So one's faith, one's mind, one's refuge, one's self is completely fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. So we have to feel dependent on Krishna. There's nothing in this material world that's giving us any security. Permanent security. So we have to feel ourselves defenseless, that without Krishna's support, we're in a very impossible situation. And the more we cultivate this feeling of dependency upon Krishna, then the more we can actually chant Hare Krishna with some sincerity. Actually calling out to Srimati Radharani Krishna, please wake me up to the life of devotion so I can get out of this life of materialistic speculation, sense gratification. Otherwise, then we'll have to go to sleep again for a brief period of time. And who knows where we're going to wake up. And if we don't get the message in some lifetimes, then we go to sleep for some millions of years. If you think you're tired and you need a good rest, well, don't worry. So the conclusion is, why is all this being told to us? Because we should take seriously how difficult a situation the souls, every soul, finds itself in the material world. And we have to become convinced that the only refuge is also ultimately to take shelter of Krishna. Iti guyatama shastram idam yaktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimastat krita kritas shabharata. This is the essence of all, this is the most confidential secret of all the Vedic literature. Anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will become will meet perfection. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes.
I've got a question in regards to your fences chanting.
Okay. I hope so.
I was contemplating whether it's offensive to read the Shastra while the Mahamantra is being played if you're not concentrating on the Mahamantra. I mean, is this offensive? Like to a CD player or something like that? I feel maybe.
You talked about, this is not japa, this is just reading a book and someone's playing a tape of the Mahamantra.
So if I'm reading Shastra and I'm also playing an MP3 or CD player with the Mahamantra,
what's the difference?
I'm focused trying to read the
Shastra. Both the same, what's the difference?
Yeah, so it's not offensive.
What, are you going to get up and turn the Mahamantra off? Someone's playing, chanting japa, you stop, I'm leaving. Stop there chanting.
I mean, at home, I'm reading Shastra and I'm also...
Anyhow, it's all right. So just concentrate. I mean, there's no need to play the Mahamantra. Just read out, if you want to read out loud, concentrate on one or the other, but it's not offensive. Yes?
Just a comment. The devotee actually places himself in the mode of goodness so that he can elevate his consciousness. I mean, we're always striving to be in that lifestyle where surrounded by the mode of goodness,
we can have it such as. Yeah, sure. Mode of goodness means is the absence of ignorance and passion, the absence of hankering and lamentation, so that the mind can actually think about Krishna. If we're lamenting about the past or hankering for the future, we won't be able to think about Krishna. We'll simply think about our own selfish desires. Yes.
I read a Prabhupada in the Prabhupada. He said that if you're chanting Dhamma Prabhupada or Dhamma Bhas, you cannot achieve Krishna Prema. So how do you achieve the Supreme?
Well, one thing is, we, as Krishna says, in all activities and for the result, in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So dedicate one's life in the service of Krishna. Pure devotional service is defined as when one has no other objective other than to serve Krishna. Anya bilasita shunyam, jnana karma nidavritam. And one is not taking shelter of one's activities, nor his knowledge, nor his activities of covering bhakti. And that all whatever he's doing is done under the authority of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and the Supersoul, and is done just to please Krishna. That's the definition of pure devotional service. So we act like that, and gradually we'll be elevated. Yes. What was that? No, he keeps it a secret, so no one does it. Otherwise, there's already too many people in the spiritual world. So you have to guess your way back to God. That's why the scriptures are just full of riddles to bewilder everyone. Now, Krishna makes everything as simple as possible, but because we don't like things too simple, therefore, it has to be explained in millions of simple ways before we get the message. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.